this really didn't pertain to what I'm going to speak about, but I just thought that was so cute. How many people have felt like that couple going to church? And I hope I have the right version. I hope I say the right things. If you ever start to feel that way about us, please come to me, come to someone on the board, come to Lisa, come to any of us. We don't ever want you to come in here packing suitcases and feeling like you need to be a certain person. There's no room for it. Yeah, we don't have any room. And then we just, we love you as a mess, because we all are. And we're just glad that you're here. You only have to, even though sometimes I know you want to put your kids in the chest, we can't say that you need to do that, because we love them when they're wild and running around too. We're glad to hear them, and we're glad to hear. Well, I was in Indianapolis this week. I left on a Wednesday, was coming back on a Friday, and just was lazy. Didn't want to refill the rental car. There was a 24-hour station across from the hotel, and me and one of my greater moments of intelligence thought, well, I'll just fill up on the way to the airport. On the way to the airport, came at waking up at 2:00 in the morning and leaving at 2:30. And the weatherman, let's just say their extended forecast for Indianapolis was a little off. So as I was in my light jacket going out of the hotel, it was spitting rain and snow, and it got worse. And I went over to the gas station, filled up, went inside, and thought, well, I need something to drink because there wasn't any coffee. And I'm real funny about hotel coffee makers. I don't ever use them because you don't ever know what's been in them. So I don't use them. And anyway, went in to get some with some caffeine in it. And there was a guy in there. He had a scraggly beard. His clothes were a little worn. And he was reading a book. It was just me and him, I thought. And he was just going back and forth, back and forth. And it was almost like he was reading it for a part, like it was a movie script. And I said, hey, how you doing? He never looked up. And I thought, well, until I'm not in a place where they make sweet tea at. And went on back, and then I saw got my drink, and I saw the clerk who was actually working there, big fella, young guy. And I went up, paid for my stuff. Then I had a Holy Spirit moment as I was leaving. It was like, doofus. Is something a little odd about that little guy? And I realized he was homeless. The first little guy I saw. Because I remember looking at his shoes. And they were scraggly. I think he was schizophrenic. Schizophrenia, if you're not familiar with it, is this mental disorder. No one really understands exactly what causes it. But the hallucinations that it produces are extremely intense. There are some people, the majority of the people have auditory hallucinations, so they're hearing voices and they're hearing things that are real to them. A certain percentage of them have visual hallucinations to go on top of it. There's even a percentage of them that have nasal hallucinations. And even tactile or feeling hallucinations. And there's those poor guys that have it all together. It tends to strike in the early 20s and when people are in college. And it's devastating. And it hit me. This guy did not think he was in this convenience store. His conversation was so animated, the way he was reading and looking. And as I got in my rental truck, I realized this big, tall, scraggly clerk with a beard down to here and tattoos all over him let this guy stay in here over the night. It was spitting rain and snow. He let him stay in there because he wasn't harming anybody. But it made me think about love. That was such a display of love in a world where there's not a whole lot of it going on right now. And it's getting rare and rare.
inside, we're all wired for love. To receive it and to give it. The environment we live in, our experiences can alter this ability to give and receive love. We become jaded. Somewhere along the way, people can forget how to love and its power and how it feels. This is a world of thorns. It's made to shred and inflict pain. Most of us build thick skins to be resistant to the spiritual and emotional thorns of this world. We become jaded. What's your real game? What are you really out here for? And we diminish the impact of true godly love on our lives and the lives of others. God places a value on it, though. The word love is used 310 times in the most modern interpretations of the Bible, starting back in Genesis. When Jesus was asked, and is in the book of Matthew, about the greatest commandments. Matthew 22, love your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. These 22, verse 40, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Start looking through scripture, looking for a section that really speaks about love. This one had stayed in my mind when I was preparing for different weddings. I think it says a lot about godly love, how we need it now, and how it ain't really here like it should be. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1, this was the first letter Paul had written to this church. In Corinth, it was located in Greece. It was a really rich church, really rich city. A lot of shipping stuff. It was made up. This church was started 50 or 60 years after the death of Jesus. And this church was a mess. It had all kinds of people in it, all kinds of different people. Some of Paul's best writings came out of these two letters. And this church gave Paul some headaches. And I think loving people sometimes gives us headaches. Even now, there were Greeks, there were Romans. There were Jews. Each group had its own little agenda and its own way of thinking it was right. In this chapter, Paul was trying to explain love for God and each other. I've heard a lot of folks speak in my life. And going with verse 1 there, some were amazing speakers that could hold your attention from beginning to end. They were just wow. They had their voice down, their pattern down, their tempo down. And it's a lot harder than it looks. But unfortunately, usually the point of their speech was razor sharp and usually pointed towards others. I've also seen people that could connect with others with little or no effort. These people could have opened doors to the hearts of many people. Because how many people are there out there in the world with no one trying to reach them? But instead of using that beautiful gift to try and reach someone, they use it to try and milk someone. Take what they can. Claim to be from God. Some of them, they're more interested in what's in your wallet, in your checking account, than they are what's in your heart. You can be a great communicator. I think it's what Paul is trying to say in verse 1 about power of the love of God in your heart and love for others. You're incomplete. Some of the greatest speakers in history have had terrible personal lives because they wouldn't use their gifts doing what they're supposed to. What God had wanted them to do. When God's working with you and you're following, you're obeying Him, and you're doing what the Holy Spirit's laid on your heart, you got that perfect pitch. You may not record an album with it, but you're going to get the words at the time you need to get them. When you're trying to do that on your own and you're trying to use a spiritual gift without the way it was meant to be, it's like nails down a chalkboard. Verse 2, when Paul talks about prophecy and knowing all the mysteries and knowledge, you know right now 90% of the scientists that ever lived live right now. Right here, right now. do a DNA sampling, you can genetically predict diseases and treat diseases that 20 years ago killed one out of every two people. There was a disease when I first became a respiratory therapist, it was a condition called ARDS, adult respiratory distress syndrome. It literally killed 7 out of 10 people, 6 out of 10 people. Now the mortality rates for it within 25 years are down to about 5%. But what are the companies doing, though, that control these great discoveries, all that potential healing? You know, there are 5 ALS drugs, Lou Gehrig disease drugs, right now. Clinical trials have shown it worked. They're on shelves at the FDA. Lou Gehrig's disease is one of the most terrible things to ever come along. You basically, your nerves devolve. You lose function of everything. 5 drugs, they're proven to work. Buried. Coronavirus vaccine, though, can be found in 2 weeks. Insurance companies are issuing denials to patients equal to death sentences. Medications that will help end a long struggle. You can have it $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month. Who can afford that? It might as well be $5 or $6 million a month. How many people can afford that? Doctors are discharging patients from the hospital not because they're well enough to leave, because the insurance companies say they have to go, that they won't pay anymore. The Nestle food company, literally, like the Nestle bar, Nestle water, they're spending millions and millions right now trying to copyright and patent water. The CEO of Nestle Foods has said it is not a fundamental right, that water is not a free right. This is going on, dude. This is not fake news. This is in an interview excerpt. And I thought, you are a James Bond villain. And I guess the CEO of Monsanto just gave him some lessons. Agriculium, can't forget Monsanto. Agriculture companies are genetically modifying seeds so that the millennia-old practice of taking seeds from a crop to make new crops, they're putting the end to that. And if you have heirloom tomatoes that you've been growing for 30 or 40 years, you better hide them. They're suing farmers. They're using heirloom seeds because they can outlast them years and years in court. Full of knowledge, but no love. That's just a few. There's so many more. Greed and power are motivating reasons for a lot of the science today. But if you look at the Bible, at all the prophets, all of them, they have a common thread. Whether they were telling you that God's about to give you some tough love, or they're saying, hang on, God's coming, there was a love in there. The knowledge today, so much of it is not tempered with love. It's tempered by greed and dark forces. Demons even have a measure of faith of who Jesus is. They knew who he was before men did. When faith and knowledge and other spiritual gifts are used without love, is one of the reasons they're misused. Verse 3, when Paul talks about giving up, if I give up everything I got and I'm a martyr, but I don't have love in my heart, it profits me nothing. A lot of people giving away a lot of money. The things they want to give it to, and that's your money. People did this in Paul's time as well. A lot of it was to be seen sometimes, though. There are people who give up their lives for their beliefs. Sometimes it's for the love of God. Sometimes it's for pure hatred of others. We regularly hear about suicide bombers in different parts of the Middle East and Asia through a very deranged belief. that they think they're getting closer to God. There's no love in their hearts. They're being used as a guided missile, killing people that their only thing wrong was wrong place at the wrong time. Paul is saying the action isn't as important as the motivation. Now, whenever I talk about giving, I do want to give a word about that. When you give of your heart, that's one thing. You taking advantage of, that's something else. Somebody comes to you and says, well, if you're a Christian, you need to give me this. Step back, take a look. First off, is that person able to work for themselves? Answer is yes. Are they trying? If they say, well, I can't afford this or that, do they have a cell phone? Do they have a pack of cigarettes? Do they have internet? And this is Mark. My views don't represent Genesis Church, but if you got cigarettes, if you got internet, if you got a phone and you got all this other stuff and you able to work, but you sitting here asking people, you're being lazy, and that's being the sin. And you're trying to deceive and connive people. And I'll be honest with you, I have to tell a lot of people no when I check the answering machine and things, because no. This board and I try to be very careful stewards of what God gives us and y'all give us. So you can give from your heart, but it's okay to say no. When there's somebody out there that is not trying to help themselves and they want to deceive you and they want to use you to get what they want, that's wrong. So that's my little 2 cent worth about giving. And it's okay to give when it's laid on your heart. But it's okay to say no, too. And when somebody starts telling you you're a Christian, you need to do... No, being a Christian don't mean being dense. It's okay to use some wisdom, and it's okay to say no, because you could be helping them to get... Because eventually somebody is. You're going to say... Eventually somebody's going to tell them no. Might as well get the ball going now. Because love can't survive between two people and between us and God without some kind of sacrifice. Anyone that's in a relationship, someone has to make the sacrifice. God showed us what love looks like. He is an example of genuine love. Faithful love and sacrificial love. In any relationship, there needs to be mutual sacrifice. That sacrifice is developed through work and compromise and self-discipline. A lasting relationship, there has to be some give to it. That's just all, thanks, Suzanne. That has to be, you have to have some of that. Anyone that's been in a long-term relationship is all, you have to bend on some things, then some things you don't have, you can't bend on. I love you, honey. But those are relationships that last. And the bad thing is, you think about this sense of entitlement that's going through our country right now, through our society. And no matter which way you look, a lot of these kids in the younger generation, even some older folks are thinking, well, I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to having fried chicken for dinner tonight. The person who has to fix it may not think so. There is, and it worries me because so many people want what they want and there's no compromise to it. And in order to last, you got to have a compromise. And it makes me really worried because right now we have a divorce rate of 50% in this country, or 51. Can you imagine what it's going to be in about 10 years? When we have these kids, they're getting everything right now. And they get into relationships. Are they going to learn? You give a little, you give a little. In relationships, you give a lot, you give a lot. But it's worth it. And this one, verse number 4, how many people have heard this at weddings? It is, wow. It's been used at countless weddings. But sometimes it gets thrown out like right after the wedding. Because Love is patient, or it should be. Sometimes that patience runs thin with people that you love. Love is kind, it's not jealous, it does not brag, and it's not arrogant. Love is faithful to God and faithful in relationships, and genuine love doesn't bolt when things get tough. We don't lose our faith in difficult times. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. For those who genuinely love God, difficult times are considered an opportunity to grow in faith. That's hard. That's hard to swallow. That's hard to accept, no matter how true it is. No one has to raise their hands, but really, if you have grown as a believer in Jesus, when did it come? When things were going well? Or when things were just really going bad and you couldn't see an end to it? For myself, my best growth has occurred in times of struggle. Not that I'm asking for any more, but that's really where it comes from. And genuine love. You know, sometimes our spouses, the people we're in a relationship with, we get frustrated. And then you have to think, though, back. They were there with you when this happened and this happened and this happened. They didn't leave you when they could have. I know Lisa's described me as her diamond in the rough. I don't see the diamond, but I was in a mess when we met. I had separated, divorced, and just gun shy didn't quite cover it as to the state of mind I was in. She was there with me, and after I met her, I went back. I got my bachelor's degree. I started teaching. I got my master's. She's a big part of that. She didn't bolt. Now, there were some times I think me and her both wanted to chew our legs off to get out of it, but she didn't bolt. And when Lisa started having some health problems, I was there with her. And it's a lot harder than it sounds. And I know people right now, they're in relationships, they're listening to this. They know those times. And it's one of those things that when you start getting frustrated with your significant other, just remember they got their good points and they've been there with you. Hope that makes up for the last comment, honey. Yeah. I don't quote Dolly Parton very much, but she's a really wise lady. Storms make trees take deeper roots. And I think if our relationship's like a tree, the storms and the things that make us, that come into those lives, they come into our lives, they help shape us and they help root that relationship. Verses 5 and 6, Paul talks about truth and wrong suffered. And sometimes folks get love and lust mixed up. Lust will eventually go. When you're acting in love, truly godly love for one another, you might do the wrong thing, but it's unintentional. It is. Most of the time when we have disagreements in relationships, it's not because we out to hurt anybody, especially our best friend. Stuff happens. And we think one thing, they think something different. But when you're acting out of selfishness or lust, it's not a question of if things will go bad, but just when. Has anyone, and this is usually for younger days, but has anyone had someone that they were in a relationship with, and it was, well, yeah, I might as well say it was more like being in heat than it was in love? I think we all have. If we're honest, most of us have. And we got to remember, people with love aren't perfect, but neither are we. People who experience love for each other will sometimes hurt each other. It happens. I have hurt Lisa. I haven't meant to. She's hurt me. She hadn't meant to. It's just sometimes things come out and our mind says, well, it's okay. That person that hears it is unbuttoning and rolling up the sleeves because it's about to hit the fan. We're imperfect, though. I mean, we have to remember that. And just remember there's a difference between unintentional wrong and emotional or physical abuse. That's another little note. When someone is going out of their way to hurt you, to victimize you, to make you feel horrible, that's not right. You don't have to put up with that. When Paul wrote about rejoicing in the truth, he's talking about the truth of Jesus and his sacrifice and his love for us. Verse 7, when Paul talks about bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, that clerk in that convenience store showed godly love for this person. He may not even got his real name. That clerk could have been fired. People were fired for less. Someone coming in could have emailed the manager. I didn't like that guy hanging around. I didn't feel comfortable with the little fellow. Wasn't hurting anybody. But there are people like that that would do that just because they can. There are always people out there who can only feel something if they're making someone else feel bad. Also, when I read this verse, I thought about people caring for their spouses and their children. There are many people who help those they care for to dress, to bathe, fix their meals for them. Many of the daily activities, they're bearing with them and they're enduring with them in love. And that's not easy. When one spouse cares for another like that, it's a sign of godly love. I also thought about our church when I read this, because we've celebrated with each other. Cried with each other, pray for each other, and we continue to give, like in our building fund, to hope that God's going to lead us getting our building built to put down roots. Right now, at this point in time, this church family has a genuine love, and I hope it just gets stronger and stronger as time goes by. In verses 8, 9, 10. Prophecy and communication and knowledge are all spiritual gifts. They come from God, but they're all tools. Imagine you want to build a house, and love's like that blueprint. You have to use love as your guide to use these gifts. While godly love is a guide, the tools won't be used properly. The prayers I pray, if they're not things I'm supposed to pray about, those pretty words don't come out. When I go from the direction I need to go in, things I can do up here and say up here don't come out. They're not supposed to. I can teach. I can tell you all kinds of things about nursing, science, medicine. But when it comes to things of the heart and things of God and Jesus, I trip all over myself if I'm not between the yellow lines where I'm supposed to be at. And why am I doing it? I have to always remember, it's God's show. I'm just a small part of it. One day there'll be someone that will be raised up to be the next pastor of this church. Right now, God's blessing me to be part of it. And I always have to remember, it's for God and His love and His plan. That's what helps me be between the yellow lines. And that's when all this works. Because without that love that I'm supposed to have, it don't work right. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I was a man, I did away with these childish things. Read this verse, and it just made me think about something. And I don't know if Braden will be listening to this or not. When we first accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're like children. When we're like kids, we kind of act like kids. Braden, when he was about 6, got on this kick of everybody was a meanie. Everybody was a meanie. And I know Aunt Jenny and Granny Jane remember this. And my beloved wife, evidently after being called a meanie 577 times in a single day, turned around and said, "Yes, I am, and don't you ever forget it." If you know our son, the comeback was just priceless. "I won't ever, ever forget it, ever." Should have been here. I wouldn't use that kind of dramatics with you, boy. He doesn't call us meanies too much anymore. Getting that as we learn and we grow in our journey as a Christian, we mature through prayer and word. Verse 12, when Paul talks about mirror dimly. Imagine looking in the bathroom mirror in the middle of the night. You kind of focus in. You make out your image, but it's not clear. If you keep on your path of truly loving God and loving others, your image is going to become clear. What that image is going to be is how God sees you versus ever how you see you. I see myself as a mess up, lucky to be here. So many wrong turns, it's not even funny, but still here. God views me and he views you in a different way. The work that he's put into each one of us, we won't know it in this world. The lives that each of us touch, no matter what your occupation, you touch lives. Even if you're retired, you still touch lives and you have an influence. As we keep growing in the word and in prayer, you start to see more and more of how God wants to use you and how God sees you in his light. That clerk in that store may not ever realize how clearly his love for that homeless person came through to others. He could have never imagined it would end up being spoken about on a Sunday morning in the little church in South Carolina. To me, it was God working through one who was capable to help another one who wasn't capable. One day, he'll be rewarded as a good and faithful servant. I know right now there are probably people who are really struggling in whatever their profession, whatever's going on, and they don't see the value. They don't see that they're making a difference. One day, you will. One day, you're going to have a hand on your shoulder that's going to say, "Do you remember me?" One day, you're going to see your fingerprint on someone else. That love. Just keep with that love. Verse 13, Paul talks about faith, hope, and love. And without love, can you really have faith and hope? What gives you the most faith and hope in this world? Is it the new truck? Is it your nice stuff? Is it this or that? Or is the faith and hope, the hope that that special person will always be there with you? The faith that God has brought this person into your life. How are these used? They're accentuated with love. You got to have love in order to have the other two. Even if you can have faith and hope without love, what good are they? If you had to think about Jesus Christ, one word about Jesus Christ, love, a defining characteristic of him, love. Jesus was sinless, but do most of us think about that when we think about Jesus? Love, healed blind people, raised people from the dead, leprosy, people he didn't even know. He reached out, he touched, he stopped, he gave up his clean status, he gave up his life for people that don't deserve it. We don't deserve the salvation we have. None of us do. As a Christian, our goal is to be more like Jesus, knowing we won't achieve that, but in our attempts, we will draw closer to God. And what's the best way to be more like Jesus? Have a godly love in your heart and share it. There are people in your own surroundings that can use it. That person that might be a little funny at work or a little odd, why are they? Even family members, it is hard to show love sometimes when you've just been beat back and beat back and beat back. And it's hard. And it's hard to draw that line that maybe my way of showing love is I got to step back. Am I hurting more than I'm loving? And I don't know the answers to that. I don't, because every situation is so different. But as we go to prayer, I want you to ask yourself, am I displaying godly love in my life to those around me? The answer isn't what you want it to be. It's okay. It's all right. That's what prayer is for. Ask God to help you love. I've asked him to help me speak. I've asked him to lead me in every decision, every word, every action. I do it every day. We ask for many things. We ask for faith and hope. How many times do we ask for help to love God and love others more? I got to admit, it goes down on the bottom of my list. Ask God for help to develop and direct that love for his plans. To use that love as a blueprint. Because we all have spiritual gifts. I've delivered a message on it before. We all have those things that we use that are meant to be used by God. In his plan, in his work, it might be prophecy, it might be leadership, it might be teaching. Some people even say prayer is one. It can maybe music. It can be so many other things. I think a smile and a loving heart is a spiritual gift. It really is when you let that go out. Because how many times has just a card or a phone call made a difference when you're struggling? I think it's having the hearing ear and the obedient heart and doing it because you love somebody. You love your God, you love others. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and music, and the altars will be open. If something's weighing on your heart, come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we just ask that you help us love more. Father, there's so little love out in this world. It is a maze of briars and thorns designed to rip and shred peace and joy and love. Father, there are people walking around that don't feel love, don't know how to give love. They've been just battered and abused and used. And Father, you're the only thing that changed their hearts. Father, we have people that are out there chained with addictions, chained with mental illness. Father, open those doors. Break those chains. Help those people recover a love in their life that's been gone too far, too long. And Father, please use each and every person that's listening to this message. Help us, Father, to love you and love people and prove it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.